Welcome to the Sportscast, March 27th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can also visit us on thesportscast.net, also on Twitter, thesportscast1, and check us out in the Sportscast for iOS. Our Monday show is full of news because most sports happen in the weekend. And, of course, we got NBA, March Madness, and maybe some USA Granada. Join us all the way from Northeast United States, Hal Phillips. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santi. It's Maine. It's not just the Northeast. It's Maine.
That's right. Maine's a whole – it's a whole different state compared
It's an entire state unto itself. It's legit.
There's Massachusetts. Okay, I know three cities. Augusta, Portland, and Bangor, Maine. That's the only three cities I know.
You named the capital and the two largest cities. Well done.
What can I say? Anyways, how was your weekend? How's the weather treating you over there?
The weather seems to be turning. I had a great weekend. I think that this was arguably one of the best sports weekends of the year. I was talking about it with I do a Roto Fantasy Hoops League, and Friday, not Thursday, because there was a reduced NBA schedule, but I think that Friday was the best basketball day of the year with all the NCAA hoops, men's and women's, going, and a full slate of NBA games, and the NCAA hockey tournament, which is always fun, and, you know, international soccer. It was a great, and the match play. I'm a golf guy. Just a great weekend of sports.
Yes, the Masters was this past weekend. A lot going on in sports. We'll get to college basketball a little bit later in the show. Yesterday, LeBron James came back against the Clippers, I believe, after a season-long absence. So he was against the Bulls. My bad. 118-108. They did not win. Chicago Bulls won. He led with 19 points, which is not that bad, but the Lakers were going past 500, but we'll see how this goes with the Lakers.
Yeah, he didn't look terrible, and the Bulls are pretty terrible, and the Lakers managed to lose to them in a game that, you know, both teams needed. I would say especially the Bulls. It was an interesting affair. I wonder whether or not we can read any larger tea leaves here. Maybe LeBron is giving up on the idea of playing two or three more seasons and knows this is it. And otherwise, I can't imagine why he would put himself in a position to further injure a foot, which is such a tricky thing to play with in terms of an injury. He may have decided, look, it's now or never. I'm done, and I'll see you guys in October, and I'll be fully fit again. And oh, by the way, sign my kid. But I don't know. I don't have any information on that. But logically, that would explain why he would come back earlier than anticipated and put himself at risk.
Yeah, LeBron James, of course, in his 21st year season. He's had four championships, but things are starting to creep up to him. As Hal said, he has a tendon issue. He's had issues these past couple of months. So we'll see what happens with that. Luka Doncic, Hal, as picks up his 16th technical, faces a one-game suspension after they were after the Hornets beat Mavericks 110 to 104. This is one of the kind of a common thing he kind of picks up, but he is gonna sit out. The Mavs are sitting at 11th in the NBA standings. Your thoughts on this?
Well, first things first, the rule is you can only gather 15 technicals in a season before you get suspended. Luka is one of the great whiners in the NBA. He's not shy about it. And I believe he had 15 technicals right at the limit in each of the last two seasons. So this is a serial problem. And he picked up the 16th against the Hornets, and boom, it's a suspension. When I first saw news of that, because I didn't see the game, I don't watch the Mavericks and the Hornets if I don't have to. I thought it was something to do with the brouhaha against the Warriors on Friday night. It was an interesting deal. You know, sorry about that.
It's okay.
It was an interesting deal on Friday night. The Warriors and the Mavericks played a game in the third quarter. At the very end of the third quarter, it was a ball ruled out to the Mavericks, and somehow Mr. Poole stepped in and grabbed the ball and inbounded it under his, you know, the Mavericks basket, and they got 2 points out of it. And the Mavericks freaked out and said, what, that was our ball. And basically the refs punted and just said, no, that basket counts. And they ended up losing the game by 2 points. And Luka got a technical in that game too, although I'm not sure it was, about that incident. But the point is that Dallas, the wheels are coming off in Dallas. They're 7-13 since Kyrie showed up. And they don't have a deep roster, as we've discussed. And even with both guys, they're not winning games. They're 3 games under 500. They're outside the play-in right now. And they have a crucial 10 days to play. And it doesn't seem like people are particularly happy.
Yeah, these Mavericks have been having issues. Mark Cuban had an issue with a no call. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was the incident I described. That was the possession that cost them a basket. They've protested the game officially, which is very rare in the NBA. People usually defer to the refs in a way that does not involve protesting a game. They see that in soccer a lot more. Afterwards, you'll say that game, it never works. They rarely side against the officiating. But yeah, Cuban came down and right away said that's BS. We're protesting the game. Nothing will come of it. Again, the larger issue is this team's not very good. The roster is not very good. They have 2 stars and hardly anyone else. And the West is just too stacked right now for them to compete. They may sneak in and they'd be dangerous, just like the Lakers would. But Luka's not happy. And if they lose, if they don't make the playoffs, Luka's, I think, his contract's up in a year. Does he stick around? This team's going nowhere.
And yeah, Yeah,
Kyrie's going to blow it up in next year anyway. Just a matter of time. Go ahead.
Any second of now, of course, Kyrie just joined a few months ago during the All-Star break. But as Hal was saying, yeah, it's not looking good. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and it's kind of panning out that this roster is so it's just no depth into that roster. So we'll see what happens with the whole saga and – with Luka and Kyrie and all that jazz. Let's look into the standings right now, and I'll pull this up. Nuggets is number 1, 2 Grizzlies, a okay comeback by John Morant. 3 is Kings, 4 Phoenix Suns, 5 Clippers, 6 Warriors, 7 Timberwolves, 8 Pelicans, 9 Los Angeles, 10 OKC, and 11 the Mavericks, and then the Jazz. So far, Golden State is moving up into that playoff safe zone. Anything else you see from these standings that you could see fluctuating?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Santi. The Warriors are down to sixth spot. They were in the 3, 4, 5 spot, and they're slipping. They lost a home game the other day. And they never do that. They've had an outstanding their record is almost exactly a flip. I think they're 8-27 or 8-37 on the on the road, and 27-8 or 37-8 at home. They can't afford to lose games. They're not looking good. They're just not deep enough either. They have a great starting five and don't have anybody else to come off the bench that they can manage the game with. The Pelicans there are all the way up into the eighth spot. And I don't, has Zion come back yet? I don't believe he's played.
No, he might play towards the end, but it's looking bleak.
But yeah, look, the team that nobody wants to play is the Thunder. They're surging. They're so talented. They're so deep. There's a team with a legitimate MVP candidate in Gilgeous Alexander, and just talent everywhere you look. Young talent, unproven talent. But boy, wouldn't it be fun to see them in the playoffs? And the Jazz, the Utah Jazz, they've played hard. I give them all the credit in the world for not throwing in the towel, even after they made the trade with Gobert and the Lakers to gut their roster. They've got an interesting team going forward, and they're going to obviously have a ton of draft picks coming their way. But it's more of the same out west. We're not going to know until the last night, and that's sort of fun.
It's what we call decision day in the Premier League and also MLS. Trailblazers are going to sit out Damian Lillard for the remaining games because, hey, we're not going to make the playoffs. But was that the right decision from the Blazers?
Well, I guess there's the chance that they could creep up into the playoff situation. If I was a fan of theirs, I wouldn't be too happy. I happen to have Nurkic on my rotary, you know, my fantasy basketball team. I'm not happy about that. There's a lot of very important ramifications to that decision. I mean, they're just doing what a lot of teams have done already. They're not going to go anywhere, even if they do make the playoffs. And I don't think they can catch the Jazz. So I'm not surprised. They've got an interesting roster there with some young players, but you know, are they going to do anything until they deal Lillard and get big picks for him? I doubt it. They're sort of stuck in that middle ground. 13th gets you into the lottery, but with very poor odds.
Let's look into the Eastern Conference. The Bucks are number one. Your Boston Celtics is number two, three Philadelphia, four Cavaliers, then the Knicks, Nets, Heat. My Heat a little bit below the Nets. Hopefully catch up to that sixth spot. Hawks, Raptors, Bulls, Pacers, and the Washington Wizards. Your thoughts over this? I think it looks pretty solid up top, to be honest. But we'll see if the Bucks can drop to number two, maybe for you.
I think we're looking at the 10 teams that are going to be in right now. The Pacers have played very hard. They've not thrown in the towel, but they keep losing games. They sat down Miles Turner the other day and managed to win a game. Again, Miles is on my fantasy team. They're killing me. But the Pacers are now four games behind the Bulls in the loss column. I think they're done. Technically, it's possible. You know, but thinking about the top three teams in the East, and everyone sort of now it's fashionable to pick the Bucks, and I understand it. They're playing very well. Their best ball of the season. The Celtics have rebounded from their 13-10 slide. It's a mediocrity slide. It's not a collapse. The 76ers have also leveled out. But, you know, what the 76ers have and what the Bucks have is a horse who's going to get to the line. In a playoffs, that matters. So with Embiid and Giannis, you know, Giannis isn't going to make all those free throws. But it lets your team rest. It slows the game down. The Celtics like to play faster. They don't have that guy. They don't have, Tatum, as good as he is, doesn't get to the line as often as either of those guys. Not even close. Neither does Jaylen Brown. I still like the Celtics in a seven-game series against anyone. I do think it's going to come down to Celtics and Bucks. I don't think the 76ers are good enough. I love D'Anthony Melton. If you're starting him, though, your team is not great or at least a little weak there. But they have played very well. They started terribly, and a 2-3 Celtics-Sixers matchup would be really good fun. But I'm not ruling out the Celtics and catching the Bucks. There's still some time.
There's still some time, and of course, with their run last year, they have playoff experience and championship experience. Bucks a little bit healthier this year than the year prior, so we'll see what happens in the standings. But Hal's pretty confident that's what we're going to get in a few weeks. Let's go to college basketball, where I'm starting to really look at these games a little bit closely. San Diego State defeating number 6 Creighton 57-56. There was an issue with a foul towards the end of the game, and it sent San Diego State Trammell to the free throw line. He made one of the two shots, but it was an impressive win by this not small school, but it's a quite surprising school this year. Your thoughts over that game?
Well, no Mountain West team has ever made the Final Four. There are teams that have made the Final Four that are in the Mountain West now. UNLV comes to mind, but they weren't in the Mountain West when they made it. I think it was called the WAC, the Western Athletic Conference back in the day. Look, San Diego State is a good team. We've watched them play four games now. They're obviously talented, but are they better than Creighton? Probably. Why? Because their guard play is better. I thought that their guard play was just better than Creighton's. Creighton has this kid, Nemhard, who's the brother of Andrew Nemhard, who plays for the Pacers. He's a good player, but they could not get good shots when they needed to get good shots. They also gave away a big lead, just as Texas did to your Hurricanes. We can get to them in a moment.
Absolutely.
When in doubt in the college game, you know, look at the guards that are playing on team. If you have two good guards who can both handle the ball and create for themselves and dish it, you're going to have a leg up on teams that don't. I thought the front court of Creighton was bigger and a little bit more impressive than San Diego State's, but I thought the Aztecs were deeper and their guard play was better. Tramiel played a good game against Creighton. He played an incredible game in their win during the Elite Eight. And 5'10", savvy guard. He looked a lot like Kemba Walker out there to me.
Yeah, he did, actually. Yeah, good point there. This is the Aztecs' first time making it to the Final Four of this tournament. So pretty excited for this team. Another team that no one saw coming. I said Miami. Everyone was picking Houston. They defeated Texas 88-81 towards the beginning. And like the first half, Texas was leading. I thought Texas was going to win. But Miami erased a 13-point second half deficit to win it 88-81. Your thoughts over this game?
Well, this game makes my point even more strongly. Texas just couldn't get good shots during that 13-point run where they made up that deficit. It was sort of ridiculous that they couldn't get anything better than they got. And, you know, the guard play, Pack is a good player. They have two or three guards, the Hurricanes do, that I thought were impressive. I love their – those are great uniforms, too, I got to say. I really, really like them. Not a big fan of the U – overall sort of ethos wise, but Larinaga, the coach there, is an old hand, and they're disciplined and they've got great guard play, and they came back. They ran right by Texas. I mean, Texas got caught and passed in about 5 minutes. It was really something to watch.
Yes. Hurricanes. Jordan Miller was the star of the show. He is going to go to the Final Four. You know, it's unbelievable. Larinaga, as you were saying, used to coach at Georgetown years ago, is taking this team and full of surprises here in Miami. It's pretty excited about it. But another Florida team has made it also to the Final Four. FAU defeating Kansas State. I did not see this coming, defeating them by 3 points, 79-76 over three seed Kansas State. It was 8 minutes, 37 seconds left in Saturday's East Regional Final against Florida Atlantic. Knoll caught the ball on the right wing, used a ball screen, and took it contested. Step back three-pointer over the Owls. Janelle Davis, it banked in, giving the Wildcats a six-point lead. Knoll ran down the court, giving his version of a Michael Jordan shrug. This is a huge, huge win by this small school in Florida, Hal.
So I have a question. Is FAU, is that what used to be Florida International?
No, there are two different schools. Florida International is more towards Miami, and FAU is in Boca Raton.
Oh, okay. Well, FAU, just to continue with our theme, and I swear to God, we didn't map this out ahead of time. FAU plays with this Russian center who's gigantic, and then four guys who are 6'5" at best, right? They're not big. They play basically four guards and this big dude. And they have a couple guys who come off the bench who have decent size, but not huge. Again, guard play, guard play, guard play. They completely toyed with their Elite Eight opponent. They were never troubled. And Kansas State was where they were because of Noel. He played an unbelievable tournament up to this point, but he went cold in the second half of this game. He was hurt and maybe didn't come back fully, made that crazy shot. But they rely on him to create. And when he couldn't do it and he couldn't knock down the increasingly long jumpers that he took in the second half, they went down with a bit of a whimper. Amazing win by FAU. I mean, it's an amazing tournament. You know, I think we talked about it before. I don't follow college basketball during the regular season. I just can't be bothered. I got what they call a life, and those games don't matter. But come the tournament tide, I'm all in. And so I'm getting to know these teams as they play. And when you're watching FAU, they just don't look cowed at all. And one of the things that I think is true, and you can, they play in Conference USA, not the greatest conference, not terrible, but they're 33-3. If you are 33-3, you're pretty good. You know how to win games. You win games maybe you shouldn't win. 33-3 is a tremendous record. I think back to Indiana State back in the late 70s. They went undefeated before they lost to Magic Johnson's team in the 79 final. But the year before, they won 30 games. When you are used to winning games, you win games by default. And that's what they've done. They don't panic. They do what they do well. And it has stood them in good stead in this tournament against, you know, not, you know, they beat a number one seed, but they've not had a terrifically difficult path, and they've proved to be the better team in almost every case.
Yeah, and the big guy, the big man for FAU, his name was Vladislav Golden. He is from Russia.
Yeah, he's good. He's mobile. He's more mobile than that Kalkbrenner dude who played for Creighton. Same type of player. But you look at Golden on the FAU team, and there's, you know, nobody near him in size and girth in the starting five. They play four very talented guards, basically two threes, two guards, and a five. And they manage to rebound the ball well enough and hard to play against. Hard to play against, indeed.
Two South Florida schools in the Final Four. Which, let's look at the bracket right now. It would be SDSU versus FAU, then Miami versus UConn. UConn had a convincing win. There was like the only game that was not that tight where they beat Gonzaga 82-54. Looking at this Final Four, how do you see it, and who do you think will make it?
Well, it's hard to pick against UConn. They're not just the best ranked team left. They beat the best team to get into the Final Four. Gonzaga was a legitimate contender, top 10 all year long. They destroyed them. You know, the Steve Timmy, the fellow on Gonzaga with the headband, he got into foul trouble and they fell behind by 15. They had to bring him back and didn't make a bit of difference. They just blew him out. This is an old Big East matchup, old school Big East matchup between Miami and UConn. And I'm a UConn fan from way back. I went to school in Connecticut. Just going to represent my little Wesleyan.
I see it. Nice.
But I always liked UConn even before that time. I was a big fan of the old UConn teams with Corny Thompson and Chuck Alexinas and Carl Hobbs and Mike McKay. So I'm rooting for UConn. They look way better than any team that they might play in this Final Four. But as we've seen, you never can tell. And who knows, you get to a big dome situation and you can't find the rim and with no background and you lose by 20. You never know. But it's going to be worth watching. And that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament. People talk about seeds this, top seeds that. Oh, never, two never beat a 15. It doesn't matter. When you play, when you don't have a bowl system, when you're not choosing, you know, teams by, you know, reputation to play in this championship or that championship, it's all on the court. And this is the way the court decided it this year. I love it.
Yeah, I do like it when they play it out versus a committee to decide who is in the playoffs or not. And the other side, SDSU versus FAU. This might be the underdog side of the bracket. Who do you think will take it that?
I have no idea. I think that San Diego State is a really well-coached team, but this young guy who has coached FAU, he's another great coach. I don't have any idea who he is. I know that he's not going to be coaching at FAU next year. I'll take some good odds on that. But I was watching FAU play. I think it was in the game that they just won against Kansas State. It might have been the Elite Eight game, though. I can't remember. But, you know, some team came up and pressed them, and they ran an inbounds play from underneath their own basket twice and just blew the press away, and they looked like they'd done it a million times, and they looked like, and then they when they did it the next time, they they adjusted it just a little bit, sort of turned it a little bit because the other team knew what they were going to try to do and that they broke the press and got a layup or got fouled. This is a very well-coached team, a clever team, and they're going to be difficult to beat. But at this point, all these teams are primed and confident, and you know, I would hate to have to lay the odds on these games in Vegas because who knows?
That's going to be tough. So we'll see what happens. I am pulling Al from Miami versus FAU. I don't know the probability for that, but that would be historic.
The ghost or the spirit of Tito Horford is looming over that game.
Let's see what happens. Well, there you have it. The Final Four will begin on April 1st, and it's going to be exciting, a wild weekend. And, of course, Monday, the national championship. Looking forward to it. All right, let's go to Grenada Soccer. USA beat convincingly Grenada 7-1 for the CONCACAF Nations League. Two goals by Ricardo Pepi, one by Brendan Aaronson, two goals by McKenney, one goal by Pulisic, and newcomer Zandejas, who just recently switched the U.S. over Mexico. A convincing win, a lot of confidence coming in. Your thoughts over the match, which you saw.
I did. I watched it. That was on Friday night, right? And I was flipping back and forth with all those other things. It wasn't much of a game. Let's be honest. It was an overmatched opponent on a terrible field. I really felt bad for the Grenadians. They just took it on the chin and they didn't have enough guys to sub in. If they had subbed in a bunch of guys, it could have been 15-0. But boy, there's a lot of talent on display for this U.S. team. I thought the most interesting thing about the match was to see McKenney playing where Tyler Adams usually plays, you know, on the bottom of a defensive midfield triangle, sitting right on top of the back four. Again, they were not troubled in this match, although they did give up a goal. But McKenney played very well. He is more offensively capable than Adams, and you have to be super fit to play that position. He clearly is that now, having, you know, gotten up to speed with Leeds over the course of weeks and months. But he scored two goals and didn't have any trouble with his defensive assignments. One of the things that Adams is so good about, he's not really an offensively gifted player, but he does make himself available to his wing backs and wing midfielders always. And he's very sure on the ball. He always makes good decisions with it. They're not difficult decisions, but they are sure, quick decisions. McKenney did that, offers a little bit more going forward. It was good to see Reyna playing such a central creative role from midfield, which is certainly something that soccer Twitter was yelling for during the World Cup with great volume. It was nice to see Zandejas play, you know, looking like a little bit like Tab Ramos there, you know, short guy, plays centrally, wants the ball at his feet, gets forward. Not sure that he's equipped to play that role that that Adams plays, which is so defensive. But this team just is loaded. We've never had a team that is so loaded. And they are chasing this Balogun fellow who plays for Rennes in Liga in France. And he can choose between Nigeria, England, and the U.S. And this dude may be the striker that pulls all the pieces together. An answer on that seems like it's coming soon. God, fingers crossed on that.
Yeah, there is no coincidence. He is in Orlando this past week. Apparently, he's getting a medical checkup, but the U.S. team is in Orlando this weekend and today when they play El Salvador. But yes, he is a leading scorer in France for Ligue 1. So I would take him. I would not mind taking him, Hal, because we need a striker, even though Pepe had two goals. But he would be a great asset and a, you know, this world is lacking strikers, so why not, right?
Why not? I mean, I don't think the U.S. is lacking strikers. They lack experienced strikers. We have a ton of great young strikers. Booth is a player. Pepe's a player. Reyna's a player. Wea is a player. I mean, these are all guys who can get forward. And what we need is, you know, a manager who can deploy them according to their talents, not, you know, shoehorn them into a system that isn't predetermined. I don't have nearly the problem that Berhalter that a lot of people did, but he coaches like a club manager. He has a system he wants to play and wants to bring players in that suit his system. It doesn't work that way in international soccer. You have a generation of kids, and you have to devise a system that maximizes their potential. He was not great at that, and I think he's done with the national team. It's not clear, but it seems like it. I'm happy to move on. This game tonight won't be a cakewalk. El Salvador is not bad. I think they're going to bring the A team. They're playing in Orlando, which should help the U.S., but it'll be a way better, more entertaining test than Grenada supplied. Although, God bless them. They worked hard.
Yeah, they did work hard. As Hal said tonight, another Nations League match against El Salvador. There is a coach available as of this past weekend, Conte from Tottenham. They parted ways, mutually parted ways, and things were struggling in Tottenham. Even though they were in fourth spot, Hal, they parted ways. Your thoughts over that? The whole news this past weekend.
Well, I'm a Tottenham fan, so I've been following this closely. Conte got himself fired. He went on a rant last week and basically dared the club to fire him, and they worked it out, and now he's gone. Interesting that his lieutenant, Spalletti, is staying, is going to coach the team with Ryan Mason for the remainder of the season. And frankly, the Spurs were better when those two guys were in charge when Conte was out getting his gallbladder removed. They beat City at home. They beat Chelsea at home. They can still make the Champions League. They're in fourth place. Both Newcastle and Manchester United have a game in hand on them. So they're in fourth, but technically they're sort of behind the eight ball. But it's not over. There's plenty of time left. They just have to get some performances. Conte, I don't know. Conte did a great job with Chelsea. He won leagues. I never thought that his heart was in this, and I don't know that the Spurs really had enough of a team to make his system work. He's so reliant on midfield, you know, midfield studs. He won with Conte in the middle of the field. We don't have a single player like that, and we don't have a creative force going forward since Bettencourt went out. And I never thought that Bettencourt was that elite attacking midfielder. So good luck to him. He looked a little pale and pallid the last week. He should go home and get himself back to full health, you know, get his hair dyed again and begin again with someone else.
Yeah, get a tan in Italy. Couple of rumors, of course, is Pochettino as the manager for Tottenham. Your thoughts on that, or do you have some other names you have in mind to coach his talented Tottenham squad?
Well, they wanted Julian Nagelsmann 2 years ago when Pochettino left. They wanted him. He was then coaching at Leipzig in the Bundesliga and wasn't prepared to leave. Then he went to Bayern Munich, won the league, and then they just dumped him in favor of Thomas Tuchel. So Nagelsmann is available, and I think the Spurs, I think they would like him, and I really hope that he accepts. If he says no, then it's going to be more sort of thumb twiddling from Spurs Nation, because we sort of think of ourselves as a big club that big stars and star coaches want to come to, but it hasn't really worked out that way. So I'm hoping for Nagel.
Yeah. Which the reason why that Nagelsmann is available is because he got terminated by Bayern Munich this past week, and Thomas Tuchel took over. They were ready. Bayern Munich acted right away, even though Bayern Munich wasn't in any type of danger of, you know, losing the league or anything. Yes, I know it's tied in the Bundesliga, and they're still in the Champions League, but Bayern Munich didn't waste any time.
Very unusual to fire a guy like that in the middle of the season, where you're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, poised to advance, and you're they have a race in Germany this year, but they're not out of it. They haven't underachieved at all. So, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. They must really like Tuchel, and Tuchel probably said, hey, if you don't hire me, I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you have it. That's our news for the Premier League international break this past week. Your prediction for tonight, USA, El Salvador, tonight in Orlando.
Hopefully US 4-1. But I think it'll be a close game for a good long time.
It should be 4-1. Should we start our A team, or hey, let's give another look at our bench here?
No. I think they should start the A team, the team that came out and played so well against Grenada. Give them a chance. But I think that there will be liberal substitutions if they can get ahead. Again, they have so many options now. The other thing I really enjoyed seeing was Miles Robertson back at center back, playing with Reen. That's the dream pairing for me going forward. It, you know, a little wisdom, a little youthful vigor. And, you know, Robinson missed out on the World Cup when he hurt his Achilles. So I'm glad to see him back. And he's a talent. He was the only MLS player in the side, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I think in the bench, because in the starting lineup, there was no MLS players.
I think that's the only MLS player on the roster.
Has it come to this, Al? We have foreign players now. I mean, you know.
I know.
And overseas clubs. I mean, not just MLS. It used to be different back in the day.
Hey, you know, this is the maturity of a soccer nation. We are come of age, as they say. So this is the way it's supposed to work. MLS has done a great job. They have supplied a lot of these guys through their academy system, and their senior sides to these clubs in Europe. So this is the way it's supposed to work. MLS is a selling league, not a buying league.
That's correct, just like the Portuguese league. Hal mm-hmm. Phillips, what is the best way to reach you? What is your coordinates on social media?
I'm at Mandarin Hal on Twitter, and I'm just posting a new essay there today. So keep an eye out there. If you have some bear halter fatigue, you might want to go and check that out. It'll be on Twitter. But I write about soccer matters at www.genzero.halphillips.com. .net.
Check it out. Hal does not think Berg Berhalter is in the running for the coach. We'll find out. They still first need to hire the GM, but we'll see what happens. It could be Conte. It could be Berhalter. It could be, you know, Mauricio Pochettino. I don't know.
Pochettino is still in the running. I don't think Spurs are going to go there, and he might be the guy. I would love to see that.
Like him. I would not mind, actually. Yeah. So,
anyways. Do you like him or you don't like him?
I do like Pochettino. I really do. Not like I'm going to, you know, go after him as my first option, but I would not mind if he was our manager for the U.S. team. So, mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you have it. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter. We'll be looking at some college basketball this week. And, of course, NFL news. Lamar Jackson is requesting a trade. So we'll see if that will happen or not. But another good day in sports. Another week coming ahead of us. How I appreciate you coming onto the Sportscast.
Always a pleasure, Santi. Talk to you soon.
And this was your update.